One of the most common accusations leveled against Catholic Christians by non-Catholic Christians is that we give too prominent a place to Mary. And some even go so far as to claim that we worship Mary or accuse us for worshiping Mary, which of course is not the case, never has been the case, never will be the case. The Church has always taught us to worship God alone. You could probably argue that if the Catholic Church really believed that Mary was to be worshipped, she would have a much more prominent place in Scripture, which was written by some of the first Catholics. So, the New Testament, that is. In any case, what about this matter of giving too much honor to Mary or putting Mary on too high, too much of a pedestal? Doesn't that draw us away from worship of God? No. Not at all. I'll tell you why. In fact, I'll give you a key for understanding all of the Marian doctrines, all of the teachings of the Church with regard to Mary. And the key is this, it's simple. Every dogma, every doctrine that has been defined about Mary points us to the truth about Jesus. Now, does anyone know how many doctrines or dogmas of Mary there are? Any guesses? 75? No. Four. It's just four. So, if we look at these different dogmas, we can see how they're not really even about Mary herself at all. Mary is not wanting to be in the limelight saying, "Look at me and how great I am." She just says, "Hey, let me show you, or let me tell you something about my son." So all four of these dogmas and everything that the Church teaches about Mary really is ultimately directed toward our growth in relationship with the Lord. So for example, the Immaculate Conception. We believe that Mary was conceived without sin. So she was preserved from sin from the very first moment of her conception. Well, some might say, well, of course that says a lot about Mary, but ultimately it points us to Jesus because God saw that it would be fitting for Jesus to come into the world through a vessel that was completely untouched by sin, a vessel that was completely pure and full of the love of God. So it was really for Jesus' sake that Mary was preserved from sin. How about the Assumption? We believe that at the end of Mary's life, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. Well, you could say, you're really overdoing it there with that one. No. And it's not even about Mary's glory, although we do honor that she lived a very holy life. It's about Jesus and how Jesus gives us the grace, and in our closeness to Jesus, if we live our lives closely to Jesus, Jesus is the one who raises us from the dead. Mary didn't ascend into heaven as Jesus did. Jesus ascended by his own power because he's God. Mary, not being God, does not have the ability to ascend into heaven as her son does. But she is assumed into heaven. She's taken up into heaven, gathered, drawn close to Jesus, her son, and of course to the Father and the Spirit. So the Assumption does point out the merits of Mary, but ultimately it's about the power of Jesus to save. Third dogma is the perpetual virginity of Mary. Well, what about this one? The Scriptures tell us that Jesus was born of a virgin. And so by upholding this teaching of the perpetual virginity of Mary, what we're saying is that Jesus is unique, right? Yes, Jesus came into this world. He was born of a mother in much the same way all of us were born of a mother. And yet, he is an absolutely unique being in the manner of his conception. And so it's important for the church to uphold that teaching of Mary's virginity because it says something about Jesus. You see the pattern here. So the fourth dogma is the one that we celebrate today, and that is Mary is Mother of God. Anyone know when that dogma was defined? 325. The year 325 of the Council of Nicaea. But they weren't asking the question, who is Mary? In those days, they were debating the question, who is Jesus? So as they gave Mary the title Mother of God, what they were really saying is, we know that Mary is the mother of Jesus, but Jesus is God. So he is truly God, so we can say that Mary is the mother of God. So all of the dogmas about Mary point to Jesus. Anyone who, you know, any of the saints who have written about Marian devotion will always tell us that loving Mary is about loving God. It's about coming to know her Son more perfectly and loving him more wholly. St. Maximilian Kolbe, I've quoted before, says, don't ever be afraid of loving Mary too much, because you'll never love her as much as Jesus does. I want to just raise one more point, and that is that as Jesus hung upon the cross, he said to Mary, behold your son, referring to St. John, who was standing there also. Then he said to St. John, behold your mother. So he entrusts his mother to his son. He entrusts his mother to the church represented by John, the Apostle John. And he entrusts the church represented by John to Mary, his mother. And so in that moment, we are taught that Mary is the mother of the church. And so therefore, she is the mother of you and of me. Now, if we apply the same kind of principle that we did in reflecting on Mary as mother of God, that it says more about who Jesus is than about who Mary is, then if we consider that Mary is our mother, perhaps that says more about who we are than it says about who she is. Because if Mary is our mother, that means we are brothers and sisters of the Lord. And if we are brothers and sisters of the Lord, members of his body, then we are also sons and daughters of God the Father. That means we are not orphans. We are no longer slaves, as St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. We are not just random creatures. We have tremendous dignity as the children of God. And so on the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, she not only reminds us of who Jesus is, that he is truly God and truly man, but she also reminds us of who we are in Christ and the dignity that is ours as such. And as we begin a new year, we might call upon her for help so that we might spend this year truly living in accord with the dignity that is ours.